A major kingpin was killed on Sunday morning, so that contributed to a lot of the violence on Sunday, but we also had a shooting on Friday, but all hell broke loose after the killing of a character known as Peterbus, who was dominant in the Clarkestad area, and it's just crazy how it's escalated to an actual war zone. We, you know, these youngsters are running around with the firearms open, shooting across busy roads. And yesterday afternoon, we had a grandfather that was picking up his grandson at school, shot and killed by a stray bullet, and his grandson was injured. So it's just really, really an unacceptable level of violence that we're seeing in Elsie's River at the moment.
Yeah, it's not acceptable. Uppercase, not acceptable. Have SAPs been able to do anything? Because I bet my bottom dollar in the Cape Flats that everybody knows exactly who the shooters are and probably even where the guns are and who pulled the triggers.
Yes, we're having an issue with the, let's call it, unresponsiveness of SAPs, because, you know, after the killing of this kingpin on Saturday evening, Sunday morning, there was enough anticipation and there was panic within the community already. WhatsApp groups were abuzz. And the incident that happened yesterday at Edward Primary School, we actually had WhatsApps coming through, which was forwarded to SAPs, saying that, guys, we need police visibility. The schools are coming out now. It's very tense. Can we have police visibility? And it took the incident where his grandfather was killed for police to have a presence. So we're saying that they're not responsive enough. They're not really and got the ears to the ground and working proactively. And we need, you know, proactive policing. We need them to basically read the streets and understand when to expect violence and flare-ups, as we as community activists are able to do.
It seems like there's absolutely zero intelligence on the ground, because if you've got your street intelligence, as it were, I'll call it that, it's very easy to pinpoint the people, because every single time I hear of a shooting on the Cape Flats or somebody dies, what makes me livid is that there are people who know who the shooter was. They know where the guns are, and yet those people walk away unpunished. It's maddening, because I guarantee you I can go to Elsie's River now and ask, and everybody will say who the person is, but there's a fear, isn't there?
There is a fear, but there's also, you know long enough how long in this space as community police forums and as community safety activists. And when you have your principal institutions, your provincial board, your provincial commissioner's office, your Department of Community Oversight and Community Police Oversight and Community Safety, so if all these principal bodies oversees the functioning of community policing and policing in general, when all of these bodies, you know, sort of don't respect the communities that they serve, then you have a serious problem. And when they interfere in the political processes of CPFs, which we are currently going through, where our CPF has been dissolved, so there's absolutely no communication, formal communication right now between community safety structures and SAPS management. So it's a really a difficult situation for Elsie's River right now, because of processes that is being stalled and interfered with. And
Imran, who's doing the stalling and who's doing the interfering? It's your time to point fingers. Name names.
Well, I would say it comes from our current provincial board, who interfered in the AGM of the Elsie's River Community Police Forum.
How did they interfere in the AGM? You can't do that. That's unconstitutional.
You can't do that.
Yeah.
You can't do that. They interfered by disbanding a CPF 3 days before an AGM and then dissolving that CPF and saying that we are dysfunctional and that we are disruptive and that the CPF is unable to work harmoniously with SAPs. And then they, interfere by using that as a means to say that these people, like myself, like our chairperson, Chief Harris Aris, who's been 5 years at the helm, you know, being on the streets almost daily, fighting in the trenches, and you're being completely snubbed, and ensuring that you don't get a space in a new election. And we've appealed the election process, and now the new CPF is also in abeyance. They can't function because we've appealed the process. But if there hadn't been this amount of interference, then the CPF would have been transferred to a new executive, which we don't have a problem with, if it's the democratic will of our community. But there would have been a harmonious handover, and our civil community would have had a voice right now, which they don't have. And this is the problem that we are highlighting here, is that we are in a war zone. We have all these problems in our community to deal with, and we still have political interference from both SAPS hierarchy as well as from the provincial board.